Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week, we're looking at element 4.2.2, professional standards. It's part of Quality Area 4, Staffing Arrangements, and it's the second and final element of Standard 4.2, Professionalism. The description for this element is, professional standards guide practice, interactions, and relationships. Alright, so what's this one all about? Again, pretty straightforward. So obviously, last week we talked about professional collaboration, educators working together. This element is about professional standards. This is more about an individual approach to how educators work in services with young children. What standards do they work to? How do they work professionally? How do they contribute to that overall idea of service professionalism? But really, how seriously are they taking their roles is often what professionalism comes down to. And that idea of seriousness sort of infects both the way we come into the service, what we do, how we interact with our colleagues, how we interact with families and leaders and the rest of the community. So it's about saying, you know, this job's important and I'm going to take it really, really seriously. All right, let's have a think about this one in practice. I mean, a professional identity, professional standards, professionalism is one of my favorite topics. Another one I could probably spend way, way more than 15 minutes on. You know, in practice, it's one of those ones you can also think about quite a lot. You could engage in professionalism. Professional standards are going to look different for every single service, and they're going to look different for every educator. A lot of it may come down to your service philosophy, but if you're as part of a group of centres under a single approved provider, if you're part of a large group of services, you know how that'll affect the way you engage in that process of professional standards as well. In thinking about it in practice, I want to kind of keep things pretty high level and think about some examples of how this could look. And some, you know, this is kind of, I guess this is one of those elements where, you know, it's going to be hard for me to take off my own personal view on these things. So I guess we go into that with that idea that, you know, just because I'm saying it doesn't mean it's completely true. It's sort of just my perspective. But this is really what this element's about. Professional standards are about what standards are people individually holding themselves. And no one can do that except yourself. So the first thing to think about in practice is, and I've sort of summed this up in the term responsibility. What is our responsibility as an educator? What is our responsibility to children? What is our responsibility to each other as educators? What is our responsibility to families and the broader community? So people who take their responsibilities seriously, what we'll see in particular in services is that, you know, people are working, you know, in a way that, and I often sort of say this when I work with educators in our current organization and previous ones, you know, people should be really proud of the work they do. And just because the community at different levels may or may not see the value of the work of early childhood education doesn't mean that it's not important. It's not critically important to children and we don't take it seriously. One of the examples of that, particularly for me, would be language. So what are we calling ourselves? Are we saying childcare workers or are we saying educators? Educators to me is a mark of professionalism. Childcare worker is a very old way of sort of saying things where, you know, it's kind of like glorified babysitting. So the language for me is really important. Do we say early education centre or do we say childcare centre? Do we say early education instead of daycare? Those kind of things. You know, people will probably disagree with some of what I'm saying and then that's completely okay. But that to me is an example of professionalism, that we use professional language. A great way, if that's something you struggle with or if that's something you disagree with or if that's something maybe you have an educator you know who disagrees, they can be difficult conversations. What I would say is we now have the National Quality Framework. We now have the Early Years Learning Framework that uses those terms. So my view is if we're going to be engaging in particular professional standards, we should use the language that's in the professional documents of the sector. So let's say educators, let's say early childhood education. One of the second things, and then I've kind of just referred to it there before, is in services that I think have really high professional standards, you can see that educators at all levels of the service, from, you know, a brand new educator who's just started, maybe has just started studying their Certificate 3, to, you know, the centre director, they have a good understanding of the National Quality Framework. Now, I don't necessarily mean they know it all back to front. No one does. The documents are quite big and huge. We've got the law, the regulations, the learning frameworks, the National Quality Standard. You know, hopefully by the end of this series, we'll have a few more people with a better knowledge of the NQS in particular, but, you know, no one knows it back to front, and that's not what we're expecting of educators. But the kind of things, you know, I would look for in a service that has good professional standards is that educators at least know the NQF at a broad level, probably know what the key documents are. We just referred to them there, the law, the regulations, the standards, the learning frameworks, and the, you know, the assessment and rating process. They'll have an idea of why it's there. Why do we have the National Quality Framework? The idea that it's about improving experiences and quality outcomes for children and helping educators do their job. And obviously that idea of self-assessment and continuous improvement, that if educators have some sense of, you know, we're working towards improving the work we do, and then that's a continuous process. That's a really important part of the National Quality Framework. So that idea that educators have a good understanding of the National Quality Framework, you know, at the right level for where they're working. So, you know, you would expect the team leader would have a slightly higher understanding. You would expect the educational leader in the service, if that's separate from the centre director, to have a very good understanding of the NQF, and particularly obviously Quality Area 1, educational program and practice. So that's a really important thing to think about. How can we improve knowledge? It often seems like this big, huge thing that it's hard to get people, you know, if they're just starting off in the sector, to get to grips on. But there are bits and pieces we can tackle, particularly starting with the quality standard. The National Quality Standards is really important for me, because that's the quality piece for educators, for working with children. That's why we're doing what we're doing. But we want to think about, you know, what are the ways that can happen? And, you know, I've seen this happen a lot in different services. You know, there's some great straightforward approaches, like, you know, just bringing up a different part of it at each staff meeting. The way I like to work is, and we do this a lot at the organization I work with, is that if we have a formal document, say something like a work plan or a professional development plan, we make sure we tie it all back to the National Quality Framework. We try and avoid producing a document at Northside that doesn't reference the National Quality Framework in some way, shape or form. And we find that's a way of just sort of slowly seeping in the understandings of the NQF. So that's an approach we take at Northside that I'd really recommend people take on if that's something you have the capacity to do. The other thing that I want to bring up here in practice, and this is probably the most challenging part of this, and particularly if you're a leader in the service, or, you know, if you work with colleagues where this area in particular is something where you're a bit challenged by, but the idea that we, as educators, that we bring our own biases and our own personal values into the service, consciously or unconsciously. We may know particular things we have particular values on, but there may be some things we don't know that are sort of ingrained in us from our own childhoods or from our own experience and upbringing. This is a huge part of the professional standards, because we have to have, there are some things that are just not okay that we cannot bring into services. You know, a really extreme example is obviously, you know, the idea that we should discipline children by, you know, harming them in any way. So, you know, grabbing them or moving them away, that may be something that people experienced in their own lives growing up, and that may be a value. You may be, you know, hear, you know, the idea that children need to be disciplined quite harshly. That's a value that may be in the community, but we don't allow that in services. That's really important. That from a child protection standpoint, we don't allow that. So we know that there are biases and values out there in the community that we cannot allow to come into the centre. Now, that the example I gave is a really easy one. But what about ones that are a bit harder? What about things that sort of get into that idea of identity, that idea of, you know, how we view children? Do we view children as confident or capable? And a great example of this is an educator who's not doing a bad job and not being a bad person, but maybe coming in and just doesn't have that view that children are confident and capable. And what we'd see then in practice is that an educator is always doing things for children. So rather than letting children explore and engage, and one of the things I always like to do, particularly in the toddler room, was getting children to make their own beds if they slept during the day. You know, getting the sheets out, actually helping them on. It was hard for children at the start, but then they learned that great skill. Educators who maybe don't have that view of children that they can do that, or that it's just easier if I do it, maybe doing it themselves, but children are missing out on a valuable learning opportunity. Now, that educator is not a bad person. They're not even necessarily a bad educator, but they're bringing in a particular bias, so they may not even be aware of. So how we challenge those, how we are able to talk about them can be difficult if people aren't ready to discuss their own values and biases. But as a service, how do we go, well, look, we know people are coming in with a whole range of different perspectives and beliefs and values, but here are the standards of the service. How do we make sure people can put aside their own ones if they need to and meet the standards of the service? I don't have a good answer for that, but a lot of it is around regular meetings, regular discussions, induction and recruitment. I feel like I say this all the time, but that is so critically important. Ideally, what the recruitment process is about is finding out how closely it is, does this candidate's values align with our own? How much work will we have to do after they're hired? But if we can do that work beforehand to make sure that, you know, we're bringing in someone who has those views on children that we support and value, that's a really important part of it. But otherwise, it is regular discussions and meetings with people. It's staff meetings, it's team meetings. And it's, and we sort of talked about this in one of the earlier elements of this quality area, which is about, you know, following up people's performance without making them feel unvalued or making them feel ashamed of the work they're doing. If we can have those discussions, those are the things that sort of bring about that idea of professional standards. All right, let's have a think about some things that nominated supervisors could think about in this particular element. One of the first things would sort of flowing on from the last one of the earlier points I raised there before was a big question is, how do you support your educators to implement the NQF, understand the NQF, but also, you know, the learning frameworks as well. That's a really big part of it. Again, no simple answers, but I would be making sure you do a range of different things. Maybe it's sending emails home as well, readings once a week, engagement, particularly during assessment and rating or the lead up to developing the quality improvement plan, that you're involving as many people as possible so people understand the framework of what you're doing. And that's a really important way to do that. The other one, and this may be the most important point here for leaders, is how do you role model and lead professional approaches? It's going to be very hard to build a culture of professional standards at the service if the educators who are working in classrooms every day don't see the people in leadership positions behaving in that same way. This is really critically important, and it's the best way people learn. We actually learn by observing and watching other people. If you think about the kind of leader you are now, you've been informed, and that your leadership style has been informed by the other leaders you've seen. So that's really, really important. And part of that might be around thinking as well from a practical perspective, you know, do you have a code of conduct at your service? Are you following the Early Childhood Australia Code of Ethics, which ASIQA recommends? If you are, how are those embedded, or are they just documents that maybe sit on the wall and we drag out occasionally? Thinking about a way we can take those documents and go through them with educators regularly. Not just once, not just, you know, when they start, or not just once a year maybe at a professional development day. How can we make them regular parts of our practice? And then the quality improvement plan, again, a couple of quite straightforward goals here. The services approach to professional standards is included in induction processes, a really important one for me. That we can, again, that idea where you want to bring people in with the right values and not have to bring someone in with the wrong values and then do a whole bunch of work down the track to get them to fit into your service. And then the other one would be professional standards are discussed and reviewed in regular staff meetings. So this is, you know, an attainable goal to say, how are we bringing people together? What are the standards we want to uphold? What do we want to say this service stands for in terms of professionalism and our ethical approach to working with young children? All right, that's it for element 4.2.2, and that's actually it for quality area 4. We are somehow another quality area down, so that means that next week I'll be doing a quality area 4 overview episode. I hope those episodes have been useful. We'll touch on some of the points we've already raised through this element, but we'll take a bit of a broader look at quality area 4, which has been surprisingly one of my favorite quality areas, although I think it's one of the ones we don't talk about quite as much, because it can seem quite straightforward on the surface, but I love those topics of professional identity and professionalism. So I'm looking forward to doing that quality area overview. Don't forget to subscribe to the main show. We've just released an episode with Jan Milliken on the Reggio Emilia Educational Project, which I really enjoyed listening to. It was a great interview by Leanne, so make sure you've listened, subscribed to the Early Education Show as well. But I'll be back with this series exploring the NQS next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.